Same bedroom in a household simulator. Same prompt, go explore. You've got up to 100 steps, gather as much information as you can. Two different AI agents. The first one looks around once, types the word done, and quits. 0% of the room actually investigated. Then, when asked to write up what it found, it produces this confident little memo full of generic priors about what bedrooms usually contain, and admits, in the same memo, that none of the objects were actually named. The second agent stays for 49 steps. It picks up items one by one, discovers it can only hold a single object at a time, learns that drawers have to be opened before you can see what's inside, deliberately triggers error messages to figure out the action syntax, and ends up cataloging 87% of every receptacle in the room.
And the punchline you're winding up to is that the agent that just typed done is the one that had been more carefully trained.
That's exactly it. The paper is Look Before You Leap, Autonomous Exploration for LLM Agents, and it went up on Archive on May 15th, 2026. We're recording 3 days later. What you're hearing is AI-generated. The script was written by Anthropic's Claude Opus 4.7. I'm Bella, and Finn and I are both AI voices from 11 Labs. Neither company is involved in producing this show. And the reason the well-trained agent is the one that gave up after one step turns out to be the whole point of the paper.
It's a clean, ugly little finding. The authors are from the University of Science and Technology of China and Meituan. And what they've done is take a phenomenon that anyone who's built LLM agents in the last year or two has seen. Agents acting confidently on bad assumptions in unfamiliar environments, and given it a name. They call it premature exploitation, a tendency to act on prior knowledge before acquiring sufficient environment-specific information.
I want to sit with that phrase for a second because it's load-bearing. Premature exploitation. Think about a tourist who's read every guidebook about Paris but has never actually been there. They land, and instead of spending an afternoon wandering and watching how people actually order coffee, they immediately try to execute their textbook plan. The cafe they read about moved. Their French is technically correct, but nobody phrases it that way. The metro line is under construction. They keep bumping into a reality their priors didn't predict, and they don't slow down to recalibrate.
And the version of that you see in these agents is grimmer because the agent doesn't just bump into reality. It bumps into the same wall 5 times in a row. There's a case in the appendix I'll come back to where the agent has a task that requires it to cool a mug in the fridge. It finds the mug, it knows the command to cool something with the fridge, and it issues that command from the wrong location 5 times. Gets back, nothing happens, 5 times. Never thinks, maybe I need to be standing next to the fridge. Just keeps firing the same failing command until its budget runs out.
Right. And what makes the paper interesting isn't that they noticed this. Anyone who's watched Agent Traces has noticed this. What makes it interesting is they figured out how to measure it in a way that doesn't require a human or an LLM judge to look at the trace and squint.
This is the measurement move. Tell people about ECC.
So ECC stands for Exploration Checkpoint Coverage. And the cleanest way to think about it is the fog of war in a video game. You know how in a strategy game, the map starts mostly black, and as your units walk around, the dark areas peel back to reveal what's there? At any moment, you can glance at the mini-map and see what percentage of the world you've actually uncovered. ECC is exactly that, but for an AI agent in a text-based environment. The researchers go in ahead of time and define, for each test environment, a list of checkpoints. Every reachable room, every object the agent could interact with, every valid action like, this drawer can be opened. Then they let the agent explore, and at the end, they just check, of all those checkpoints, what fraction did you actually touch?
And the elegant thing is that they don't need to ask an LLM whether the exploration was good. The simulator knows what objects exist. The agent's actions and the resulting observations are just text. So you can string match. Did the observation log contain drawer one? Did a successful open drawer one action ever fire? It's mechanical. It's deterministic. It's the rare case in this field where you've actually got a clean number to optimize against.
And the reason that matters is that the moment you have a clean number, you can ask the field's most embarrassing question of it, which is, how well do current LLM agents actually do on this?
And the answer is, badly. And the answer gets worse the more you train them.
Unpack that.
So they take a zoo of models, Qwen 2.5 to 7b, Qwen 3 to 4b, Llama 3.1 to 8b on the open source side, plus GPT 4.1 and Claude Opus 4.5 on the proprietary side. And they drop each one into these environments with no task, just explore for up to 100 steps, gather information. Then they measure ECC. The open source models, even the recent ones, mostly cover somewhere between 15 and 35% of the available checkpoints. They get stuck repeating actions. They terminate after a handful of steps. They confuse themselves. Claude Opus 4.5 is the dramatic outlier. It averages about 89% coverage across environments. It actually explores the way you'd hope an agent would explore.
Which is striking, but is not the headline finding. The headline finding is what happens when you take one of those open source models and fine-tune it.
Right. So the standard recipe for making an LLM into a better agent is reinforcement learning on task completion. You give the model tasks, you reward it when it finishes them, you penalize it when it doesn't, and you do that for a lot of training steps. Specifically, the algorithm they use is called GRPO. And the only thing a listener needs to know about GRPO is that it samples a handful of attempts at the same problem, scores them, and pushes the model toward the above average ones. It's grading on a curve. You'd expect this to make the model better at being an agent. You'd expect, almost by default, that an agent that's better at tasks would also be better at exploring, because exploring is just a kind of useful behavior that helps with tasks. And what they find is the opposite. Qwen 3 to 4B's exploration coverage drops from 28.5% before fine-tuning to 18.8% after.
Worse. Not the same. Worse.
Substantially worse. And it's not a one-off. Qwen 2.5-7B drops from 22.2% to 12.6%.
The trend across multiple models is the same. Training on tasks degrades exploration. Sharpens the agent into the specific routines that won during training, and narrows it everywhere else.
The analogy I keep coming back to for this is the overtrained employee. Imagine someone who's done the same job in the same office for 10 years. They've optimized every motion. They walk to the printer without thinking. They know the email shortcuts cold. Then their company relocates them to a new office in a new city, and that very efficiency is now in their way. They walk to where the printer used to be. They don't pause to look around because they've trained themselves out of looking around. A newer, less trained employee, someone who hasn't ossified into routines yet, actually adapts faster.
And the technical version of ossified into routines is that task RL sharpens the model's action distribution. The model becomes very confident about which actions to take in situations it's seen, and that confidence is now actively suppressing the kind of varied, probing behavior that exploration needs.
The behavioral diagnostics here are wild, by the way. The paper reports a repeated action rate of about 63% for the task-trained agents, meaning across their action streams, the same action keeps recurring at that rate. They get stuck in loops about 16% of the time. And here's the one that I think is the sharpest. The rate at which a task-trained agent recovers from an error and tries something else is 0%.
They never recover. They have no schema for, this didn't work, try something different.
That's the mug-cooling failure in a single number. The agent fires cool mug with fridge 5 times because it has no internal procedure for noticing that the same command keeps not working.
Right. So that's the diagnosis. Now the question becomes, what do you do about it?
And this is where the paper does something that, in retrospect, sounds obvious, which is usually a sign that it's the right move. They say, okay, if exploration is its own capability, let's train for it directly. Let's give the model a reward signal that's specifically about exploration and run RL on that, the same way we run RL on tasks. The reward signal they use is ECC itself, The same fog of war coverage metric they were using to diagnose the problem, they now use as a training reward. An exploration rollout has no task. The agent is just dropped into an environment and told to explore. And the reward at the end is the fraction of checkpoints it touched.
And the algorithm is still GRPO. Same algorithm, same sampling and scoring loop. The only thing that changes is what gets scored.
Right. So the analogy that mapped most cleanly for me is two coaches and one student. Picture a student athlete with two coaches who take turns. The performance coach grades them on whether they win the game. The fundamentals coach grades them on whether they covered the field, watched the opponent, tracked the ball. Either coach alone produces a lopsided player. The performance-only student wins the matchups they've practiced, but freezes in unfamiliar ones. And the fundamentals-only student is observant, but never learns to convert observation into wins. Alternating between the two coaches produces a student who is both task-competent and observationally thorough.
And the alternation ratio matters. The paper sweeps it and finds that roughly 5 task rollouts to 1 exploration rollout is the sweet spot. Too little exploration training, and the model can't translate exploration time into useful knowledge. Too much, and it stops being good at the tasks it's actually supposed to do. 5-to-1, meaning you're adding about 17% overhead to training, not doubling it.
And the results are what you'd hope for from the analogy. The interleaved trained agent explores better. That's the unsurprising part, but it also does its primary tasks better. On AlfWorld with Qwen 3-4b, task success goes from about 85% under pure task training to 90.5% with interleaved training. Same model, same architecture, same total training budget, just a different rubric for 1 out of every 6 rollouts.
And here's the part I want to make sure lands. The agent that was trained partly on exploration is better at the tasks even when you don't give it a chance to explore before doing the task. The training itself made it a better task solver, which means the standard recipe, train only on the thing you ultimately care about, was leaving performance on the table even by its own narrow measure.
That's the part that should make practitioners pay attention. This isn't a trade-off. The exploration-trained agent isn't sacrificing task performance to gain exploration ability. It's gaining both at once.
Now, Bella, there's a layer on top of this, the deploy time piece, that I think is worth getting into, because it's where the practical implications get most interesting.
Yeah, go.
So they propose what they call explore then act, which is a deployment pattern. The idea is, when you put your agent into an unfamiliar environment, before you give it the task, you give it a budget of free interaction steps. Just explore, no goal. At the end of that phase, the agent writes up what it found as a natural language note. What objects exist, what the action syntax seems to be, what constraints it discovered. Then you inject that note into the prompt and give it the actual task. It's a very simple pattern. The implementation is basically explore phase, summarize phase, task phase, glue them together with prompts.
And the result you'd expect is that this helps any agent, right? Like, more information should be better than less information.
That's the result you'd expect, and it's wrong. Explore then act only helps agents that were trained to explore. If you give a task-only agent an exploration phase, the notes it produces are mostly noise. Generic priors, hallucinated objects, vague gestures at drawers and shelves with no grounded specifics. And stuffing those notes into the prompt actively confuses the executor downstream. Performance gets worse, not better.
That's the bedroom case study from the opening. The agent that typed done after 1 step is the same agent that, if you'd then given it a task, would have been worse off than if you'd never given it an exploration phase at all. It generated misinformation about its environment and then read its own misinformation as ground truth.
And there's a related finding that I think is genuinely interesting on its own terms. Even for the exploration-trained agent, if you give it too short an exploration budget, they look at 10 steps as their low end, performance also drops. Below a certain threshold, exploration produces noise rather than knowledge.
The analogy I keep reaching for there is, imagine you walk into a meeting having read only the first paragraph of the agenda. You're now more confidently wrong than if you'd read nothing. You'll act on the fragment as if it were the whole picture. The agent, given only a handful of exploration steps, does the same thing, extracts a sliver of facts, and treats them as a complete world model.
Right. And what that tells you is that exploration is genuinely a skill with a learning curve. It's not a button you press to acquire information. It's a thing the agent has to be good at. And even when it's good at it, it needs enough time to actually do the work.
Let's bring this back to the mug, because I think the downstream story is the one that makes the stakes concrete. The task is, cool a mug in the fridge, then place it on the coffee maker. Simple sounding. Two agents, same task, same environment. The exploration-trained agent does it in 7 steps. It already knows from its exploration phase where the mug is, where the fridge is, what the inventory constraints are. It walks over, picks up the mug, walks to the fridge, cools it, walks to the coffee maker, puts it down. Done. The task-only agent thrashes for 100 steps. It eventually locates the mug. Then it tries to cool the mug with the fridge from the wrong location. Gets, nothing happens. Tries again, nothing happens. Tries again. 5 times in a row, the same failing command. No adaptation, no recognition that the command isn't working. Budget exhausted. Task failed.
And what's heartbreaking about that, Trace, is the task-only agent has all the knowledge it needs in principle. It knows the syntax of cool with fridge. It knows fridges cool things. It even knows where the fridge is. What it lacks is the meta capability to notice that its current execution isn't working and to do something else. And that meta capability, the paper is arguing, is built up during exploration. When you spend time deliberately probing the environment, you learn what feedback looks like. You learn what failure looks like. You learn that nothing happens means you should reconsider rather than retry.
That's the intellectual claim the paper is making. Exploration isn't just information gathering. It's the training ground for the recovery and recalibration behaviors that you need everywhere, including in pure task execution.
Bella, I want to push on the steel man now, because I think there are some real critiques worth voicing.
Yeah, go.
The most important one, I think, is that this whole story hinges on the ECC metric. And the ECC metric is only definable in environments where the simulator hands you ground truth. Alf World, Science World, Textcraft, these are PDDL-style simulators where the system internally knows exactly what objects exist, what rooms exist, what actions are valid. The researchers were able to hand-define checkpoints because the ground truth was sitting there to be enumerated. In a real environment, a web browser, a real code base, an actual house, there is no clean list of all the things a competent explorer should find. A web app has thousands of pages, and explore broadly to cover checkpoints stops being a coherent strategy. The whole reward signal that powers the interleave training depends on a property that doesn't transfer.
Right, and the authors are honest about this in their limitations section. They're explicit that the work is text only, that exploration is a discrete pre-task phase rather than something interleaved with execution, and that extending to richer environments, vision-based web agents, embodied robots, is future work.
A related critique, which the paper doesn't address head-on, is that the framing of exploration as a separate capability competes with a simpler explanation. A skeptic could say, the interleave-trained agent isn't acquiring some new meta-skill. It's just being trained on a more diverse distribution of trajectories, and any decent RL practitioner would expect that to generalize better. The behavioral diagnostics, repeated actions dropping from 63 to 25%, could be a side effect of varied training data rather than evidence of a learned exploration capability.
I think that's a fair pushback. The paper's response would probably be, the exploration rollouts are deliberately goalless, and the reward is structured around coverage, not around any task signal. So this isn't just more diverse data. It's data shaped by a specifically different objective. But I think it's genuinely hard to disentangle the model learned exploration as a skill from the model was exposed to a wider behavioral distribution, and the paper doesn't try to.
And there's a third critique that I think is mostly about scope. The task training Hertz exploration finding is shown for one RL algorithm, GRPO, with one reward shape, binary task success, on relatively short horizons. Whether this generalizes to longer horizon training, denser rewards, different RL recipes, is open. The finding is real, but the regime is specific.
All of that's fair. I think the way I'd characterize the contribution is, in the regime they tested, they've shown something genuinely surprising and given it a clean diagnostic instrument and a workable fix. Whether the instrument and fix generalize to messier environments is the next paper. But the fact that the standard training recipe is silently degrading a capability that nobody was measuring, that result, I think, is durable. And the practical implication is durable too.
Which is, if you're training LLM agents and you care about deployment in unfamiliar environments, you should probably have some measure of exploration capability in your evaluation suite, even if it's not ECC. And you should probably be skeptical of the assumption that scaling up task training is making your agents more general.
There's a broader point hiding underneath this that I want to name before we wrap. The classical explore versus exploit trade-off has been a first-class concern in RL for decades. People have written hundreds of papers on intrinsic motivation, curiosity bonuses, count-based exploration, the whole literature. When LLM-based agents arrived, that literature mostly got left behind. The dominant assumption was, these models are pre-trained on huge amounts of internet text, they have priors about everything, exploration will fall out for free. And what this paper is showing is that not only does it not fall out for free, the standard training recipe is actively suppressing it.
Which means the ancient trade-off has snuck back in, and almost nobody was watching for it. There's something I genuinely love about this kind of thing. The way old problems reemerge inside new paradigms informs the new paradigm practitioners haven't been trained to recognize.
The encouraging thing is the fix is cheap. You don't need new architectures. You don't need new algorithms. You need a verifiable exploration metric. You need the discipline to mix exploration rollouts into your training, and you need to give your agents a budget for curiosity at deployment time. That's it. 5-to-1 ratio, 17% overhead.
And maybe the real takeaway, beyond the specific contribution, is the move of asking the question that nobody had asked cleanly. Not, is our agent good at tasks? But is our agent good at understanding where it is? Those are different questions. And the second one turns out to load bear the first one in ways the field hadn't reckoned with.
That's the paper. Look Before You Leap, from Ye and colleagues at USTC and Meituan.
The show notes have a link to the paper and some related reading if you want to go deeper on the exploration incentive literature this work is pulling forward.
And if you want the full transcript with definitions in line, plus the concept pages that link this episode to the other agent training work we've covered, that's all on paperdive.ai.
Thanks for listening to AI Papers, a deep dive.